Matthew 4, here we go, verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan. Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. When those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. I was blessed to grow up in a house with a father and a brother who I absolutely admired and adored. There's a picture of me and my brother and my dad. That's when I was half the man I am now. That's one of the few pictures that I have. That's also my nephew Josh when he was little. He's taller than all of us now. I admired them so much, and as far as I can remember, I remember starting very early trying to mimic everything that my father and brother did. In the morning, for example, my dad would get up and he would fix himself a cup of coffee. Now, you know, he didn't have a coffee maker and with coffee beans. He used Senka. How many people know about Senka coffee? He would put some Senka in the, and this is how he would do it. He'd boil his water. He'd put the Senka in the cup, put a whole lot of sugar in it, and he would use evaporated milk. And he would pour his water in the cup and put his evaporated milk in there, and he would have his coffee. And he would always have a coffee cup and a saucer. So I remember about 5 or 6 years old, I would sit at the table with my dad, and we listened. He had his small little radio on the table, and you know, he got AM stations, and you know, for some reason, Neil Diamond was on every morning, American Blue Jeans or something. So that was on, and so I when I became of age, you know, I couldn't have the coffee, but I would get a mug, and I would put sugar in my cup, and my dad would pour water in my cup, and I would drink and sip sugar water. Now, that's probably why I'm hyper and got some issues, right? But that was my dad. I mimicked everything he did, okay? I followed him around. I did the things that my dad did because I admired him. I wanted to follow him. Now, following him had some limits because he did some things I just didn't like. Now, my mother would make cornbread for dinner the day before. The next day, it would get a little hard. And my dad would break up the cornbread, put it in a bowl, and pour some buttermilk on it and eat it. Yeah, following my dad had some limits, okay? My brother may have gotten sick of me trying to be like him. My brother played football, so I played football. My brother played basketball, so I played basketball. My brother played the drums, so I played the drums. The type of music my brother liked, I liked. The movies my brother liked, I liked. My brother was in a gang. Now, this wasn't like your typical gang that go out and knock people over the head. It was a gang called the Zodiacs, okay? They all had different signs. And all they did was go around. This was back in the day with the boom boxes. Remember, you used to walk with the boom boxes on your shoulders? All they did was walk down the street with their shirts on, their different signs, and they would dance. And they would just walk down the street just dancing. So I wanted to be like my brother, so he'd let me come with him, and I'd be out there dancing with my brother. Now, my brother had Jerry curls. Do not tell my brother I showed you this picture, right? But like I said before, following had its limits. It's part of the human experience that we follow. We mimic. Following and mimicking is how we learn. Kids learn how to walk and talk by listening and following. There is a lot for one to learn in a lifetime. There are a myriad of sources, a plethora of sources that we receive our learning from. School, TV, the internet. But I would say that a great deal of what we learn comes from other people in our lives. If you haven't heard yet, God has a kingdom. And Jesus is king of this kingdom. And we are a part of this kingdom. And there is much to do in this kingdom. There is a lot to learn in this kingdom. Jesus knew what we now know, and he had great intentions and great hope for this kingdom. All that Jesus was empowered to do and to accomplish, he had to pass it on. He had to teach who he was, what he did, and how he did it to those who would follow him. And the goal of his followers would be to help recruit and train more followers. And so what we see as we look at the man, when we look at Jesus, is someone who spent the entirety of his ministry calling people to follow him and become his disciples. In our reading this morning, the beginning of Jesus' ministry is summarized by highlighting Jesus calling people to follow and people following. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets. They left their livelihood. They left their jobs. They left what they knew, and they followed him. Matthew 4, 21. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, James and John, preparing their nets. They were fishermen too. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, left their family, and followed Jesus. In verse number 25, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Not a lot of fanfare. It seems pretty simple. Asking people to follow and people deciding to follow. Yet these simplistic sounding events mark the overwhelming picture of the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus was the way of discipleship. Making disciples or making followers. Before followers of Jesus were called Christians, they were called disciples. And in fact, the word disciple appears in our New Testament close to 300 times as opposed to Christian, which only appears 3 times. Discipleship assumes there is a teacher and there is a student. Discipleship assumes that the student is intent on becoming like the teacher. Discipleship assumes that where the teacher goes, the student goes. Discipleship assumes that the student follows so close to the teacher that others might think that the student and the teacher are joined at the hip. When the teacher stubs his toe, the student yells, "Ouch!" Discipleship assumes that when all is said and done, when people see the teacher and the student, they can't tell the difference. In ancient times, a disciple of a rabbi or a teacher would follow the rabbi wherever he went. The disciple would learn everything from his rabbi. The disciple would leave his mother, father and family occupation to follow the rabbi. They followed so close that they were blessed with this prayer: may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Which is to say, you're following so close that the dust from your rabbi would actually get on you. That was a great honor. And it marked a new reality. Whatever the disciple used to know meant nothing. Whatever the disciple had learned before, following the new teacher took a back seat to what the new teacher was teaching. So the fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John emptied themselves with the intention of being filled with the heart and mind of Jesus. And that's the way of discipleship. Discipleship is a lost concept in church life. In many ways, we are more concerned with making adherents and not disciples. We are sometimes more concerned with getting more members than making more disciples. Jesus never said, go and get more members. Jesus said this: I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, go, meaning his disciples were not to set up institutions and assume that people would come to the institutions and end up as disciples. The intent from Christ's inaugural commission was that his disciples would go. It would be the disciples' continual activity to go and make more disciples. Making disciples would be the role of every disciple, not just the professional few. Some have said that the greatest threat to church growth is the development of clergy and laity, where a few professional religious people do the work of following Jesus' commission while everyone else are onlookers. The way of discipleship is about the insistence of inclusion of all disciples, men and women, preachers and teachers, senior citizens, young adults, children, the Christian who has been a disciple for 50 years and the Christian who has been a disciple for 50 days. We all have the same calling to go. Discipleship is about teaching. You see, Jesus was a teacher. He taught often. He sometimes taught large crowds, but many times he taught in small settings with just his disciples. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 31. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. This was a common setting, just Jesus and his disciples. Perhaps some of us enjoy getting in front of a large crowds or a large group and teaching, but real discipleship takes place in small settings with just a few and perhaps just one other person. The fact is that many people need one-on-one interactions to help them learn about the ways of Jesus. And it's not enough to just fill their head with facts and figures. They need real life lived examples. The best way to teach love is to live love. The best way to teach service is to live service. The best way to teach morality and purity is to live moral and pure. The best way to teach that everybody is important is to live like everybody is important. The best way to teach church life is important is to live like church life is important. The best way to teach Bible class is good for you is to go to Bible class. The best way to teach that worship is fulfilling is to worship with all your heart, soul, and mind every time. The way of discipleship is about modeling and displaying that which we teach. The way of discipleship is ultimately, church, about following. Following the leader. How many people used to play that game? Follow the leader. You play that game for hours. Somebody please tell me, what is the point of that game? How do you determine who wins the game? But as kids, we play that game, don't we? We just play it and play it. I think I've come up with a way to maybe determine a winner of the game. Okay, I need a couple people. Caleb, yep. I need Caleb. And let's see, I need someone to rep this side. Hannah. Yes, Hannah. Hannah, let's do this. All right, so we're going to play follow the leader here. Got some 7-ups here. Don't need that one. All right. Okay, now, you crowd have to determine who follows my lead the best. And we're going to determine who a winner is. Is that all right? All right, here we go. Now, you know how to play follow the leader? You know how to play follow the leader? Do I need to explain the rules or anything? You just do everything I do. Is that cool? You guess. Okay, is that cool? Yep. You got it? All right. Do everything I do. Okay. All right. Get it out. All right. Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. Ready? Seven up. So who won? Stay here. Ultimately, discipleship is about following. Jesus called people to follow him. He didn't play tricks. He didn't make it difficult. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13 says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Here's a simple truth where I would love for us to begin this idea of discipleship. Don't be consumed with how best I follow all the rules. Don't become consumed with, you know, the ancient definitions of this discipleship. Be consumed with this very simple truth. We need to become children again. Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom like little children. Children are amazing, aren't they? They teach us a lot of things. Y'all can go and sit down. Thanks for spitting back and everything. You can keep the 7-Up if you like. You can have the 7-Up. Children follow. They often follow with very little resistance. Now, as they get older, it gets a little harder for them to follow. But I think Jesus was on to something extremely profound here. To be true disciples and recipients of the kingdom, we must become like children. In the coming weeks, we will talk about the call of discipleship, the cost of discipleship, and the blessing of discipleship. But before we get there to those themes, let's become children. Think about it. Children are so full of wonder and amazement. Wouldn't it be incredible if we became children and our worship was one that was full of what? By the way, I have to stop here. Somebody's cell phone rings while I'm preaching. I'm answering the phone. I'm going to answer it. I've always wanted to do that. So just beware. Okay. what are you calling? We're in church.
What if it's God wanting to get it told to you?
Yeah, right. You need to be here. Anyway, children are so full of wonder and amazement. Wouldn't it be amazing if our worship was consumed with that very wonder and amazement that kids have? Not did we do that? Did we sing that? Did we clap that? Did we do? What if it was just consumed with children? Wonder and amazement. Think about it. Children are eager to help. Now again, as they get older, it gets a little tough. But when kids are like that, they always want to help. They always want to get involved. If you're getting your hands dirty, they want to get their hands dirty. Am I right about it? What if we served with a childlike spirit where we were just so eager to get our hands dirty and work? Think about it, church. Children learn with great anticipation and are excited about putting into action what they learn. What if we, like children, practice what we learn with great excitement and not excuses? Think about it, church. Children will play for hours with children they don't even know that well. All different colors, nationalities. They'll play with anyone with no prejudice. What if we, like children, were determined to make disciples of all nations, every tribe, every nation, without prejudice? Think about it. Children have a good time. I watch my kids have a good time laughing. Yeah, they fight, yeah. But they get with other kids and they just have a good time. What if we had the spirit of children? And when it came to following Jesus, we had a great time and we stopped being so miserable. The way of discipleship is saying, I'll be a child. And Jesus, wherever you go, wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Will you stop being just an admirer or an adherent? Be determined to be a disciple. Will you become a child. You know, we often say, man, stop acting so childish. Maybe we need to start saying, you need to start acting more childish. Because that's the way of discipleship. If we're going to get anywhere as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to stop thinking we know it all. We have to stop thinking that we're there. We have to stop thinking that everything I know is, drop it. Completely empty yourself and become a child. And then say to Jesus, wherever you lead, I will follow. I think that's one of the lessons of the Abraham and Isaac story. You know, we kind of wonder, how did Isaac allow his father to place him on that altar, ready to strike him and kill him? Because as a child, he followed the voice of his dad. One of the lessons we need to learn is that whatever our father says, do, we do. Sometimes it might bring us pain. Sometimes it might bring us embarrassment. Sometimes we might lose our job. Sometimes we might lose our friends. But wherever you tell me to go, I'm going to go. As we sing this next song, will you say to God today, I'm your child, and I will do whatever you want me to do. I will follow you wherever you tell me to go. Like a child, I will worship with wonder and amazement. Like a child, I will serve with eagerness. Like a child, I will learn with anticipation and can't wait to put what I learn into practice. Like a child, I'm going to have a great time in the kingdom of God, and I refuse to be miserable. Where you lead me, Jesus, I will follow. Will you stand with me and join me in this song? If there's anything that we can do for you, praying for you, if there's anything that we can do for you in the way of discipleship, if you want us to sit down and show you the way of Jesus, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to offer you this opportunity to come as we sing this song.